What's up, everybody? It's your boy Flash from ALWT Gaming, aka Malachi36. I'm here with It's the Nine Ball and Mildewy Carrot here on March 29th, 2022. I'm here for episode 13 of All Things Gaming. How are you guys doing today?
Okay. Make sure not to make no noise.
How are you doing, Nine Ball? We're going to start with you.
I'm doing great. Doing good today. Just feel refreshed. I slept all day yesterday. So.
Heard that. Okay. How about you there, Mildewy? How are you feigning?
Doing okay. A little tired. I feel like Nine Ball might have drained my energy somehow from across the void.
Something like that. As you guys know, I mean, we're going to be getting inside video game news and everything like that here in a minute. But overall, like, one of the big things that has dropped was the PlayStation news, all that good stuff, which, again, we're going to talk about here in a minute. But I wanted to get your guys' overall insight as far as, like, does any of this shock you? As far as how we got it, the fashion that we got it in, does any of this news shock you that we're about to talk about here soon?
Nope. I expect the crazy in these coming years.
<How is that? laughs> What about you
then, Nineball? I guess how they dropped it. I thought it would be like a bigger thing about it.
Yeah, I'm in that same boat too. I was kind of thinking that it would be more like a, like when they were talking about VGC, it was talking about the whole PlayStation is going to have like a showcase, if you will, at the end of the year or something. Like, I thought this was going to be more closer to the lines of that versus what we got.
Yeah, so, it's kind of like an afterthought. Like, oh yeah, this happened. Yeah, here you go.
Yeah, it's quite interesting, to say the least. But yeah. So yeah, so real fast before we can start diving into all of this, I want to ask you guys, what have you guys been playing? What's been new with you guys?
Can I really ask me that right now?
Yes. I will ask
you. You think you
guessed one game I was playing?
Go ahead.
Outside of, you know, Master Duel, which is kind of running in the background. Well, I'm not really playing it, it's just one. But outside of that one, FF14, mm-hmm. which I've returned back to because I'm going to try to finish that one. And I think that's pretty much about the only two I've really been playing a lot of. FF14, that we've been playing. Oh, we've returned to Smite.
Yes, we have.
Temporarily, we have, yes. Been returning to, we have been returning to Smite. Slow but steady. And, of course, me and Mildewy and the gang have also been doing some, we haven't did none recently, but some Ghost Exiles and some Phasmophobia. But we're getting back on Phasmophobia eventually.
Heard that.
Thinking about going back to it a bit later here soon.
Yeah.
Okay. Mildewy, what about you? I know it sounds like you did a lot of gaming with It's the Nine Ball here recently, but any additional games that you wanted to bring up that you've been playing?
Well, I've also been playing a new game that came out. I was waiting for it. Planet Crafter. That one, I've been waiting to come out. It finally launched, so I've been playing through that, really enjoying it again, and they've actually added a lot of new stuff into it. Been playing the Tiny Tina's Wonderland. I'm not as far into it as I wanted to be, but still decently in there and really enjoying that one too. Been playing a bit of Master Duel on and off here and there, and then also been playing Raft because they were talking about the next chapter release and all that's coming soon, and I've been waiting on that one, so I've been just upgrading my Raft on my server, and then we got one with Nine Ball and Gravity. Yeah, whenever I can get them onto it, you know, we definitely do that, and just been having fun playing on there, sailing around, trying to get them caught up on the story to get going forward with it, and just go from there.
Okay. Sounds exciting. Sounds exhilarating. Cool. So, I have been playing, honestly, Final Fantasy 14, played a bit of that, played some Smite over the weekend with Ohio and everything. We just finished our stream recently, like this past Thursday, with Anthem, finally beat that game. No 9-to-5 going, or not 9-to-5, but no SIN this Thursday, as we're taking a small little break from that. But yeah, but I just, again, I just wanted to kind of see where you guys were at. One thing that I do want to do now at this point is to go story number one, which is gaming news. And it is Spartacus removes its helm is what I have it called. So on here on the PlayStation blog, this is, well, I have two parters. All right. So this is going to be from the PlayStation blog on this one. And what it is that Jim Ryan says this on the PlayStation blog. Since launching PlayStation Plus in 2010, SIE has been at the forefront of the innovation with the game subscription services. We are thrilled to be the first console membership that could include a fresh library of games through the PlayStation Plus, and also launched the first console game streaming service with the PlayStation Now. Now, we are pleased to share with you official news about the changes coming to our upcoming subscription services. And okay, this June, we're bringing together PlayStation Plus and PlayStation Now in an all-new PlayStation Plus subscription service that provides more choice to the customers across three membership tiers globally. Our focus is the high-quality curated content. I just lost my place again. There we go. With a diverse portfolio of games. Below is an overview of three membership tiers, which is PlayStation Plus Essential, PlayStation Plus Extra, PlayStation Plus Premium. And there's also a fourth one, but that's for, like, if you don't have a streaming service, like if you're out the country and stuff, it's PlayStation Deluxe or whatever. The new Extra and Premium tiers represent a major evolution of PlayStation Plus. With these tiers, our key focus is to ensure that hundreds of games we offer will include the best quality of content that sets us apart. At launch, we plan on including titles such as Death Stranding, God of War, Miles Morales, Marvel's Spider-Man as well, and Mortal Kombat 11 and Returnal. And Returnal's going to be PlayStation 5 only. We're working closely with our imaginative developers from PlayStation Studios and third-party partners to include some of the best gaming experiences with a library that will be regularly refreshed. More details to come on the games we'll have on our new PlayStation Plus service. When the new PlayStation Plus service launches, PlayStation Now will transition into the new PlayStation Plus offering. It will no longer be available as a standalone service. PlayStation Now customers will migrate over to the PlayStation Plus Premium with no increase to their current subscription fees at launch. And then the part two of that is the interview. So Jordan Midler from VGC, Video Game Chronicles, says this. Ryan's comments appear in a new interview with GameIndustry.biz, which was published alongside news that the PlayStation's redesigned PlayStation Plus. When asked about adding new first-party titles to the service in the game was that Microsoft does with the Xbox Game Pass, Ryan says, quote, "This is not the road we've gone down in the past, and it's not a road that we're going down with this new service. We feel if we were to do that with the games we make at PlayStation Studios, that virtuous cycle will be broken. The level of investment we need to make in our studios will not be possible, and we think the knock-on effect of the quality of games that we make would not be something that gamers would want." Ryan also spoke about changing the environment that video games and Sony find themselves in. Quote, "Who would have said even 4 years ago that we would see a AAA PlayStation IP being published on PC?" He acts referring to the PC ports of Horizon Zero Dawn and God of War. "We've had great critical success and great commercial success, and everybody has made their peace with that happening, and it's completely at ease with it," he claimed. "I look back on the 4 years and think nobody would have seen that coming." Ryan is also keen to point out that nothing about the new service is set in stone. All I'm talking to today is the approach we're taking in the short term. The way our publishing model works right now, it doesn't make any sense. But things can change very quickly in this industry, as we all know." End quote. End story. So, I want to start this one off because you guys already.
I figured you wanted to start this one off.
Well, I was about to say you guys already branded me as the Sony pony and everything like that. Let me go and kick this off. All right.
I didn't brand anything. I just
took Ohio,
and so, I just said, come on. Which we're going to talk about those scores too as well here in a minute. But yeah. All right. So I'm disappointed in the fact that. Well, the phrases that Jim Ryan said is what disappoints me. And I'm not talking about his most recent phrases. I'm talking about what he said 2 years ago. Because, again, like I feel like I was probably the only one that was talking on the internet as far as like holding Jim Ryan to that promise where he says we have an answer for Game Pass. He said that in 2020, November 2020, specifically. And I brought it up every so often. I'm like, all right, what's your answer to the Game Pass? What's your answer to the Game Pass? This is cool. This is really good what they're doing. This is not the answer to the Game Pass. This is just not the answer to the Game Pass. Like, you don't have games day and date, as we know it right now. You don't have... You can't stream anywhere. Like everywhere. Like, you can for Game Pass for most games. You can't do it for all the games, obviously. But there's still, like, a good library of games that they allow you to stream on your phone or on PC or whatever the case is. You don't have FPS boost for the older titles. Like right now, all theoretically they did was really just merge the two and have you have free trials like for the future games that's coming out, as well as what else is there doing that on that? Actually, I think that's pretty much, and then bringing back PS1 through PS4 games onto the service. Again, that in itself is really good. I appreciate that and everything like that, even though I'm the gamer in that camp that like I don't buy a new console to play old games. Like, I just don't. The thing, though, is if you're going to offer that, then why not have some sort of FPS boost or something? Why not go ahead and have some sort of increase there? They didn't mention it inside the article just now. Like, well, they mentioned it early, further inside the article, and you guys could go to VGC or PlayStation Blog to look it up. But PS3 games, you still cannot download them. And it's because of that whole whatever.
What was that? The chip arc or something? That is a weird
architecture. This one was like, it was architecture codex or something like that. Yeah. Did not work.
A lot of companies had a ridiculously hard problem making PlayStation 3 games.
Yeah.
Because of that.
Yeah, and I can't remember, and there's an actual term for it. I can't remember what it was, but we all know what we're talking about here. And it is literally like, it's literally like they still haven't found a way to make that work. PC gamers have been able to figure it out. Like, you have the PS3 emulators on PC. So it's just like, why don't try to invest a little bit more time and effort into this? Again, the service in general, like, I'll be getting the higher tier. I'm ecstatic for this. In general, I just wish he didn't say it was a Game Pass competitor. Now, caveat to this, I've been listening to a lot of podcasts, obviously, today as I'm working, and one of the things that came up on Kind of Funny Games is saying that it's not exactly fair either to compare this to Game Pass in its current time, because we're comparing it to a system that has already matured and is continuing to mature. Like, I guess when Game Pass first came out, it really wasn't that great. I don't know, because I didn't really get hit the Game Pass until about a year and a half ago.
Let's just say that Microsoft Store was exactly trash. It forced you to put another launcher on your system. You remember that? And none of the people originally liked it.
Mm-hmm.
And so what Microsoft had to do was kind of scale it back and then go a little out of time. That's the reason why they started releasing their games on Steam. They started axing the fan base as to what they wanted.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, regardless, I know that apparently the first launch of Game Pass was just not good, didn't have heavy hitters on it either, which is another thing. It's just more of like a, hey, does this interest you? You can try it for a couple hours, see if you like it. If you like it, cool. If you don't, then you don't have to buy it. You can just move on. Now, fast forwarding years later to what Game Pass is now you do hear, like, you are expecting a lot more of these titles to be on Game Pass. You have every single Xbox first party game that's going to be on Game Pass already. So it's just like, that's a great deal. That's one of the best deals in game that you can get right now. So in order to compare that to this infant of a service, which is PlayStation Plus right now, they're saying it's not exactly a fair fight. Maybe a few years down the road, we can take a look at it, but I don't know. Like, I just, me and my history with PlayStation, as much as I love it, I do see them dropping stuff off. Like, I don't see them again, Vita, I think, was a great device. They just didn't show a lot of love to it. Even PlayStation Move, I think that they could have done something with that. And maybe that's an ill argument there, because I think that's how we got to VR. So maybe that's not exactly the greatest argument there. But I don't, like, I do remember the PlayStation Move and how they were trying to change gaming in that way. And I was excited to play PlayStation Move. Never got it. But whenever I was at my buddy's house, I loved to always do the sword fighting and bows and arrows and stuff like that. That was a lot of fun to me. You know what I mean? So...
Just having some fun.
Mm-hmm. That's my whole thing about this entire thing. And I know we mentioned this before, and this is kind of goes inside my prediction. I was like saying, if they're going to drop it, if it's not going to be anything big, like anything that's going to be shifting heads and turning heads and stuff like that, then they're going to announce it soon, because you don't want to have any form of negativity around the E3 era, around the Summer Game Fest, anytime those like big showcases that are supposed to be coming out like summer, you don't want to have any negativity around it. You want to all hype. If it was going to be something that is like a one-for-one blow to Game Pass, games are day and date and everything like that, then yeah, I can see that happening in June, July, August. But yeah, but with this, but on this one, I think that they know it wasn't anything too crazy, which is why it wasn't even a video. It was just a blog post. So, you know, so that's kind of where I'm at. Again, I am excited for this service, and June is right around the corner. This is 2 months out. The level of that's what I meant to do. I meant to actually go there and just kind of talk about, like, literally tell you exactly what's in each one. But I will say the pricing is something that is interesting to me, because at first I was like, $18 a month, this is going to be a lot. But then I saw that if you do it for a year, $120 is what Game Pass is. I was like, oh, okay, that's not bad. And it is going to have 700 plus games on it too, which is nice. So if they give me the Legend of Dragoon. I doubt they're going to give me any Bloody Roar stuff, but if they give me the Bouncer, give me Legendary Dragoon, and give me I can't remember the name of it now. Bouncer, Legendary Dragoon, Death Gem, Fight for New York. I know those not places exclusive, but if they give me those games, I will retract every complaint I have, even though Jim Ryan had spoke out of turn here. Let me go and ban some of these bots. Y'all need to be up in here. Nope. Ban you, Nymax, Nyx, Max, whatever. And goodbye, Pletin. Adios, muchacho. Okay. So, yeah. So, now, talk about the subscription services in general. So, PlayStation Plus Essential is literally just PlayStation Plus. That's all it is. So, no need to go over that. If you have Plus, that's what it is. You two free games. Well, I'll go over it. Get you two monthly download games, exclusive discounts, cloud storage for save games that you can play online with your friends. Cool. PlayStation Plus Extra provides all the benefits of Essential and adds an additional catalog of up to 400 of the most enjoyable PS5 and PS4 games, including blockbuster hits from our PlayStation Studio catalog and third-party partners. Games in extra tier are also downloadable for play. And then that one is $14.99 a month versus the $9.99 a month. Annually, it will be $100 a month, $100 a year instead of the $60 a year. And then the premium provides all from Essential and Extra, and then adds up to an additional 340 plus games, including PS3 games available for via cloud streaming, a catalog of beloved classic games available in both streaming and downloadable options from the original PlayStation, PS2, and PSP generation, offers cloud streaming access for original PlayStation, PS2, PSP, and PS4 games offered in the extra and premium tiers market where PlayStation Now is currently available. Customers can stream games using PS4 and PS5 consoles and PS4 and PS5 consoles and PC. And then time-limited game trials will also be offered in this tier, so customers can try select games before they buy it. So, yeah. So, a nice little revamp to Plus. It is a nice little revamp. But, again, going off of what Jim Ryan was saying back in November 2020, this is just not the actual answer. It's a start, cool. It's not the answer. Elaborate, gentlemen. I want to start off with you, Mildewey.
I mean, I'm glad they're thinking about this, but... And that they're, well, they're beyond thinking about it. I don't know what I'm saying anymore. I don't know. I'm kind of getting some Nintendo-ish vibes a bit.
Yeah.
And it's not a good feeling. Yeah. They definitely need to not do that. Now, the biggest thing I guess people would say is, like, is this, like, you know, an answer to, you know, the... Don't blink on it. Xbox's PC thing or whatnot. I have no clue on that one. This seems like they're definitely trying to upgrade themselves, which is nice. But I guess I need to see the full library and to see what they're fully going to give us in these services before I really can say, yes, it's good, you know.
Yeah.
Or yay, you know, here's what you're doing. Awesome sauce. We appreciate it. We love you. You know, I don't feel like I can do any of that right now. I feel like they're like, we're making this change to the services. I'm going to be like, okay, we've got a brief description. I need to see the fine print.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, we had this problem with Nintendo.
Yeah. Well, you know, the thing with Nintendo, though, is that there's only, like, I think, like, 50 games, whatever like that, that were old, and they were just direct ports from 64 to Switch, to the point to where if you didn't have a battery pack or one of those rumble packs or memory saves or whatever like that, you kind of couldn't play the game. Like, it was kind of bad. This one is 700, so I'm more confident that this is, or up to 700, I should say, depending on what tier you get. So I'm more confident that this can be a banger, but it does come down to what exactly is on it. You're 100% right. Like, PlayStation Now, when I had it, it did turn me back onto Hitman, and I got into Hitman. I was like, ooh, I do like the Hitman games. So, and PlayStation Now did also have Avengers. I mean, granted, like, we know how Avengers is doing right now, but... If for anyone that was trying to get into Avengers like me at the time, it was a nice way that you can actually try it out and test it out and see if it's something that you want to purchase down the road or something. I don't know. Well, I am. Well, I'm going to let Nightball go first before I say my last piece on this one.
Huh. Okay, so I might be in a bit of a different boat. I feel like it's not bad. I mean, to be honest. From what I'm checking
out. For the record, I'm not saying it's bad. I just don't like the way that...
I didn't say bad. I just said I'm getting some vibes, and it wasn't good vibes. So I may be wrong vibes. Like, I may have misread that thing completely. But until I see final print...
Right. It's very Nintendo-ish.
I'm just going to be like, you know, yeah. That type of thing.
Yeah.
For me, I feel like this is probably one of the best routes to go. I don't think you really want to go head-to-head. If you're going to go head-to-head, you don't want to go head-to-head with Microsoft. I don't think they're trying to go head-to-head right now. I feel like they're, in some ways, doing their own thing. Because, basically, when you look at it, what Microsoft has is doing and what PlayStation's doing now is basically PlayStation saying, well, this is our service, and that's their service. We want to do our thing. We want to let them do their thing. I don't feel like this is a, I don't know, I remember you said, who was that, Ryan, right?
Ryan, Jim Ryan.
Jim Ryan, yeah. I don't think he knew what he was talking about when he said, oh, we're going to make a direct competitor. You don't want to make a direct competitor to Microsoft.
I don't know if he knows what he's talking about half the time, to be completely honest with you.
You don't want to make, because to be honest, if they go that route, they got to go hard in the paint. Real hard in the paint. Because Microsoft will force them to. They can easily drop prices. They can put more games on there, and they have forced PlayStation into their game. You don't want to get involved in that, and I know PlayStation seems like they don't want to. They want to just do their own thing. I feel like I said, for me, this feels more like them saying, "This is, we're going to do it our way. We're going to do it like this." They probably have something different going, But this is what they came up with. My problem is something different. Some of the tiers just don't make sense.
How so?
You would really think, I guess, putting premium so you can get the other, your PlayStation 2 PSP games, at a higher tier than the PlayStation Plus Extra. Why would you go for premium?
What are you talking about?
I mean, premium allows you, because I know, for me personally, I might get premium once I try this out. So I do want to try it out when it first launches, but I know for you, you might not get premium. I'm feeling...
No, I'm getting premium.
Oh, you're getting premium. Okay.
Yeah. You know? The reason why is because there are some games that if they have Legend of Dragoon on it, and if they have the games I've been listening, right, that's one. So if they have that on the service, I'm definitely going to be jumping on that. But also the fact that I can try out some of these PS4 games that I did miss out on because they're going to be on the service, as well as in future PS5 games. And on top of that, if it does, like, if there's a game that piques my interest and it's on this service, I can try the trial. It's like a 10-hour or 5-hour trial, whatever like that, before I decide to buy it or not.
And my second problem is, and it's still the big one, the ability not to download certain games. I didn't know. I thought at first with this new one, you would be able to download the PlayStation 3 games on your console.
Yeah, it's just the PS3 games that you can't download. Everything else that you can.
Okay.
Probably because of the architecture.
Yeah, they are.
And that's literally, it's the core cell, they call it, core cell, it's coming to me now. Core cell something.
Yeah, the cell let me see.
Yeah, it's coming, it's like on the tip of my tongue there, but I know cell's definitely in it. Not from Dragon Ball Z.
I was about to say, I'm like, but do we need to call Gohan?
But as he's looking that up, yeah, no, like... Oh.
Well, no, I ain't gonna bother looking it up. It's just basically with that. I mean, is this, and this is another question, and I'm trying to, I was currently skimming through some stuff while you was talking earlier. Mm-hmm. Will this be on PC as well, or would they just leak? Okay,
it's on PC too.
Stream PlayStation. Yep. Okay. How would they do it? Will it be through
PlayStation Steam? PlayStation Now is already on PC, so it's going to be a very similar thing.
No, it's not. Nobody has PlayStation Now.
I would just say, like, as long as you have a DualShock 4 controller and whatever, then yeah, I doubt it'll be through Steam, but I think it would be through whatever it is that they're using right now on PC, but it already lives there. They're just probably just going to revamp it to replicate PlayStation Plus.
Yeah, and just throw the whole program out and start over.
I am curious if they're going to support any mobile gaming, though, the way that this is
going to go. That is a good question.
Well, I mean, you technically kind of could have, especially if you brought the Vita games back into it. The Vita games were built for handled systems.
Well, to be honest,
if you brought them in, you could then easily just put them onto an emulator on a mobile app format that could allow you to play it, and if some of the games allowed it, you probably could scale some down. I'm not going to say all of them, because a lot of games would be...
You got Steam... Well, you got Steam Deck out, so...
Yeah.
Steam Deck is out, and they can do it, yeah. So
that's kind of what I'm thinking. Yeah. And now, it's early. It's really early still, but it was something that made me think when they said PSP and PS Vita, I was like, well, why would I want to play... Huh, okay. Maybe I could do that.
Bro,
huh.
If they bring out the old Monster Hunters.
Yeah.
Oh my god. That, I would be, you would lose me. I'd be gone. It'd be game over. I'd be at work. I'll be like, yo, Carrot, we got problems. Like, hold on. Freaking Fatalis. Take it. We're literally got problems. Shut up. I got a high potion. Shut up. I'm almost going to do it. Let's go. Come on.
Yeah, I was about to say, we just have to see what the library is, because right now...
Yeah, right, I'm kind of curious. I'm reading Jim Ryan's response, and they was asking him, will he do a day and date like Xbox?
And he did give a reasonable answer for that one, because I was wondering about that, and he did say, we don't think that would be beneficial for PlayStation, because when we do that, the quality of the game will not be, like, it's going to take away, the cost is going to take away from the quality of the game. Like,
yeah, and this is why he's sort of distancing himself and saying, we're not a direct competitor. We're just doing our subscription service for our fans. You don't want to make it so you're in a direct competition. If you go in there and you go swinging in the fences and jump in the ring with Microsoft, you know.
It's like trying to rap battle Eminem. Good God.
but it literally is one of those things where I can appreciate the transparency there, because it was like, hey, we're charging you $70. Like, yeah, we went up in price. We charged you $70, but it is because we want to make sure we're covering visual. We want to make sure we're covering gameplay. We want to make sure we're covering narrative. We want to give you guys these premium experiences. We want to bring you those Horizon Zero Dawns and Forbidden West. We want to bring you those God of War 18s and God of War Ragnarok. We want to bring you those Ghost of Tsushima's. We want to bring you those Last of Us. We want to bring you those. Literally, the list goes on. If you think about it, that's the biggest thing that people have been clowning Xbox for, is not having those styles of content on their platform. Now they're just, again, best deal in gaming. They still don't have like the bangers out there, but they now have acquired studios. Well, not yet, but I mean, I'm saying they acquired studios that has the capability of doing that moving down the line. So that's something that's in their tank, because again, now you can potentially have the next Elder Scrolls be exclusive, which is to that caliber. Starfield,
yeah, another, probably so, will. That's exclusive, right? Starfield.
That's going to be exclusive. Yeah. Yeah, they announced that last year. So Starfield in general, that's going to more than likely be at that caliber. Right now, it's still inside the works of what Redfall truly is, same thing like how Starfield is. But in general, like, this is the beginning stages of Xbox being able to have that quality gaming that PlayStation already has. And PlayStation's just like, hey, we're not taking a step back from this because we don't want to take away from the quality of gaming, which is why we're not going to be having games be day and date. Like, we need to charge you guys this so we can make this for you guys.
Yeah, and this is why in some ways I am glad that they did it. I figured they was going to launch it. I was kind of scared of the initial prices of the tiers.
Because I was too, yeah. But then when they break it down, you're like, oh, that's actually, like, if you just want to do how it is right now, just plus, just same thing, $60. And I'm also curious to see if they're going to do their Black Friday stuff, make this even cheaper. When it comes on the
Black Friday. May, you know, our Xbox and them did their first like couple months like a dollar or something. Yeah. I would say PlayStation probably needs to do something like that, $5-$10 for 3 months or 1 month of gaming, get people to try it out.
Yeah, they did. I mean, actually, even for a plus, they did have you do a trial where it's just like, hey, here's a month, see if you like it. If you do, cool. If you don't, you don't have to commit to it. So, yeah. But yeah, I am very curious to see what this is going to look like. The library, again, is just something that is we're going to have to wait on and see what's officially going to be on the service. But I am I am kind of a shoe-in for getting that premium service when that comes out in the next 2 months, pretty much. Which is crazy to think that's literally 2 months out.
Yes. I got a question. I still got my Vita.
Yes.
I think I got mine somewhere too. Actually, I think I got PSP.
They released PSP and PS. I got a PSP too.
I don't think they're bringing back the store, if that's what you're wondering.
Can I play my PS Vita games on my PS Vita?
Probably. Yeah. I mean, what they did is that the PS Vita, PSP library, you can just get through the PS Vita. That's how it was before the store shut down, because I think the store's officially shut down last
year. I think
what
he's asking is if this whole system launches and the subscription goes and you sign into your account on the PS Vita or PSP,
probably not.
Do you get access to
all of it?
I don't think so, because, I mean, unless there was an update to the OS, I don't know. I don't remember what architecture they used for PSP and PS Vita.
Whatever it is, they have access to do it because they're able to emulate it inside this plan. But the thing, though, is if I'm not mistaken, I think the store is just shut down completely. On the Vita.
And which leads me to another question: graphical updates. Will it be able to upscale them?
And that's what I'm talking about by the FPS boost. They haven't mentioned anything about it, and that's why I'm like, you're missing this. You're missing day and dates. You're missing one of the things that I think that they are missing. There's still 2 months. They might bring it up, but I don't see that happening. I think it's just one of those. Yes. Like, hey, you can play this on your PS5.
I'm pretty sure you don't want to be playing, like, let's say, Parasite Eve or the original Final Fantasy VII with the same sprites in 4K.
Yeah.
No, to be honest, a lot of times you can't, because that's the issue you have in PC gaming. Sorry to go off topic here, Malik, I didn't interrupt you. But one of the biggest things I have with my PC gaming is it doesn't allow me to, a lot of times they don't allow me to install old games because of either old codexes or because the graphics cards can't handle the formatting of which the game was built on. You know, like they can't render it because they're just, their architecture is just so much more advanced now. So there's got to be ways of like emulating it, or you have to find ways of doing that or adjusting it to get it to back to those levels and all. So it's, yeah, it's just, I don't know, unless they did something, I said, like an emulator or some sort of update to allow those older games to play onto the system. But I mean, we all saw how Nintendo did with that one. I mean, they did. They got the games to work. They didn't look the best, but they were there. And then, but you know, then of course you couldn't save because it was still underneath the old architecture, looking for an N64 memory card.
Yeah. To be honest, nobody talks about that thing. It's like a dirty secret or something.
Yeah. No, I do think that. I mean, I think they figured it out for the most part, as far as literally PlayStation 1, 2, 4, and 5. They just have yet to figure that out for whatever it is with PlayStation 3. There's just something with it that's just...
Yeah, there's a couple games on 3 I really wanted to try out. Mm-hmm. Namely,
I still want to try Metal Gear Heavenly 4. Sword, to be honest with you. I still haven't actually played that to this day.
I want Metal Gear Solid 4, Gun to the Patriots.
Story number... Before we jump to story number 2, we're going to go ahead and talk about this Fantasy Gaming League business, because a lot of stuff had happened over the week. And right now, Ohio's still in first place. He's still holding on to that crown. But things got a little spicy.
Yeah, he better hold on to that tight.
So how this works, guys, is that we have our Fantasy Gaming League, which works very similar like fantasy football. But instead of you going against one competitor every week, you're against everybody at the same time, and it's on an annual basis. And you're not picking just one player, you're just picking a full game. It is on a 100-point scale. 70 points is the threshold. Anything above 70 points, which is off of Metacritic, gains you points. Anything below 70 points loses you points. Anything above 90 is double points. So, for example, if I get a game and it's 23 points, then those 20 points are above 70, so I get 20 points for that. And then, because that'll be 90. And then those extra 3 points are just doubled. So that'll be 6 points. So that'll be 26 points I would have earned for that game when it releases and all that good stuff. And then we also have something on there called counter picks, to where literally if you pick a game on another person's list, if it doesn't drop, you screwed them over because they can't drop it. So they can't have any potential of getting any additional points. If it drops and does poorly, not only do they lose points, but you gain the points because you had called their bluff on that. If it drops and does incredibly, they gain the points, but you are at risk of losing those points. So here is how we had the list. I'm going to go from first place all the way down to last. And I'm also going to talk about the games that's on the lookout for right now. MOGA, which is Make Ohio Great Again with Ohio. He has Pokemon Legends Arceus, which got him 83 on Metacritic, 13 points. Sifu got him 80 on Metacritic, 10 points. Lego Star Wars The Skywalker Saga, pending to come out. Marvel's Midnight Suns, pending and is counterpicked. Elden Ring got him 31 points, 95 on Metacritic. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Shredder's Revenge, pending. He has 2 open spots, and he has a counterpick of Suicide Squad Kill the Justice League, which he successfully counterpicked because that is not coming out. In second place is Carrot Patch Inc., who has Gran Turismo 7, got him at 87, 17 points. Forspoken, pending. Tunic, 85 on Metacritic, got him 15 points. Splatoon 3, pending. Stray, pending. Salt and Sacrifice, pending. Advanced Wars 1+2, Reboot Camp, pending. Hogwarts Legacy, pending. And has a counterpick of Chocobo GP, which it was successfully counterpicked because it did not do well. So he got 4 points from that, and he's sitting at 36 overall. In third place is yours truly, representing ALWT Gaming. I have Horizon Forbidden West, got an 89. So it was so close to 90. So close to 90. But anyway, 89 got me 19 points. Plague Tales Requiem, pending. Starfield, pending. Ghostwire Tokyo got me 6 points, which is 76 on Metacritic. Gotham Knights, pending. Redfall, pending. Mario Strikers Battle League, pending. The King of Fighters 15 got me 11 points, which is 81 on Metacritic. And I have a counterpick of Bayonetta 3, just because I don't think it's going to release this year. In
Recent news, it might be true.
In fourth place, we have Zaka Corp, who has Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild 2, which is confirmed not coming out this year. He has
counterpicked.
I don't think it was. Let's see. I don't see the marker anywhere.
What?
So Breath of the Wild 2 was delayed to 2020.
Yeah.
No one counterpicked it, though. He has Tiny Tina's Wonderland, which got him 9 points at 79 on Metacritic. Stalker 2 Heart of Chernobyl, which is pending to be delayed. Still says it's in contention, so it's pending to be delayed. Saints Row, pending, and is counterpicked by Elizabeth Live, Illuminati Living. Total War, Warhammer 3, has 86 on Metacritic. I have 16 points. Senua Saga Hellblade 2, pending. Two open spots, and he has a counterpick of Marvel's Midnight Suns. In fifth place, we have Renzoku-kun, who has God of War Ragnarok pending. Triangle Strategy, got him 83 on Metacritic, which is 13 points right now on the board. Suicide Squad killed the Justice League, not coming out this year. Chocobo GP, counterpicked, and it got him 66 on Metacritic, which is a negative 4. Kirby and the Forgotten Land got him 15 points, 85 on Metacritic. Final Fantasy 16 pending. Metroid Prime 4 pending. He has an open spot and has a counterpick of Diablo Immortal. And then currently in last place is Illuminatus Living, LSB Live, has Dying Light 2 Stay Human, got him 76 on Metacritic, which is 6 points. Bayonetta 3 pending. Strangers of Paradise Final Fantasy Origin, 73 on Metacritic, 3 points. So that went up. I think that was at 71 before. Interesting. Mario plus Rabbids Sparks of Hope, pending. Diablo Immortal, pending. Shovel Knight Dig, pending. He has two open spots, and he has a counterpick of Saints Row, as I mentioned earlier. Some of the upcoming releases, it's a nice little mixed Sour Patch of a group of kids, you know what I mean? So right now, that's about to come out on April 5th. So a couple days from now, exactly a week from now, actually, is LEGO Star Wars The Skywalker Saga for MOGA, trying to get him some more points. Then after that, the next following month is the very next game for us right now, which is Salt and Sacrifice, which is Carrot Patch Inc. Mario Strikers Battle League is exactly a month from that, which is AOWT Gaming. Diablo Immortal, which is estimated first half of 2022. Stray, estimated early 2022. Saints Row, in August 23rd. Redfall, estimated in the summer. Forspoken, 10-11-22. Gotham Knights, 10-25-22. And Starfield, 11-11-22.
Don't hold your breath.
So that's currently what the list is looking like right now. But enough about that. I want to talk about story number two. But as we talk about story number two, I'm going to bring up this little video because I want to share with you guys, and we're going to kind of watch a little bit of this.
Let's look forward.
And I'm going to share it.
You're making me watch stuff now? How dare you?
Of course. Of course.
I'm not going to have to read it.
You always have to read it. All right, here we go. Bam, Peggy.
Peggy 12.
Peggy 12.
So this is the Odyssey. I'm actually going to mute it because I don't want to get a strike. I'll bring it down. We'll do it here. Okay. So, reading over this. One Piece Odyssey revealed. So Darren Bonthis from GameSpot says this in their article. Bandai Namco has announced One Piece Odyssey, a new JRPG is set in the world of the long-running and popular manga series and developers by Ilka. Featuring new character and monster design produced by One Piece author Eiichiro Oda, the game stars you as a Straw Hat's pirate captain Monkey D. Luffy and takes place in the mysterious island. With Straw Hat's crews stranded and separated from each other by powerful enemies and the island's hostile wildlife, Luffy will need to embark on a new quest to reunite his team. In addition to playing Luffy and wielding the rubbery powers granted to him by the Devil Fruit, you will also be able to play as Zoro, Nami, Usopp, Sanji, Copper, Robin, Franky, and Brook during the course of the game. Quote, I've been thinking that one of the most fascinating points of One Piece is the adventure. Main producer Katsuaki Suzuki said in a video interview, quote, although that RPG project offering a One Piece adventure experience like never before it will be very interesting, we asked Oda for his advice and he designed the characters and monsters to vitalize in-game One Piece world. And this is what we're seeing right now is Odyssey in its full effect, which looks interesting. And again, like I was saying before, I know that what's-his-face, Blessing from Kind of Funny Games was getting very much Kakarot vibes. Dragon Ball Z Kakarot. So, yeah. So there you have it. I'm going to stop my share my screen now. And we're back at it like a bad habit.
Interesting.
Yeah. Huh. So, Nightball, kicking it off. What are your thoughts about what you just saw?
Absolutely nothing. I know nothing. Oh, I didn't know nothing. I don't know nothing about One Piece. I know the one guy ate devil fruit, and that's about it. I mean, I don't really. I've seen like maybe two episodes. That was it.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming out. If you're a fan of it, get hyped.
It is one of those ones, like, I do remember specifically how the intro started for when it first dropped, where the pirate was about to die, and they were all like, whoa, whoever can find my treasure, I left it all in one piece. Like, I remember that. But that's,
no, I remember that part.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember that. That was, like, the intro for it.
Pirate and then, King.
Yeah, I remember that. And then there was one filler episode I ended up watching, and it just turned me off into the entire anime. Because it was just so weird.
That?
It was the one where I guess the guy is actually a skeleton, but they went back to him when he was like alive, like back in the past or something like that, I'm assuming. I think it's the same guy, but it was him and he was like playing a little ukulele or whatever with a whale. And it was just so weird. It was so weird and so bizarre, and that's just like,
is it like Stephen King weird or a hippie on the alley weird?
It was like Smoke a Doobie weird. Like it was really
It was hippie really tripping.
Yeah, it just turned
Dude,
off.
Dude, man, I talked to whale.
Yeah, and that's kind of where, like, again, me not being a One Piece person, looking at this, it did look pretty interesting to me to maybe want to try One Piece, the game at least, but we'll see. I mean, that's what I did for Sword Art, to be honest with you. I played the game first before I even started watching the anime, because I just couldn't get into the anime at the time. Played the game first, and I was just like, oh, this is kind of interesting. This is kind of cool, but I don't know these characters. Then I went back and watched the show, and now I know the characters. I love the games now. So I might do something along the lines like that. But then again, it may not, because Sword Art Online is not 1,000-plus episodes either. So, Mildew, does this do anything for you? Any question, any commentary? Elaborate.
Not really. I mean, I tried, I think I may have tried one One Piece game beforehand. It was just like, okay. You know, this one definitely is, you're set way into the future of the One Piece series. So you probably, I don't know if they're going to give you a lot of information about the series up to the point. Like if they're going to do any knockbacks, or maybe they do it for those who know the series really well. And they'll get it as a hot that you'll probably just be someone's like, yeah, whatever. But I mean, it definitely seems interesting, the format that they're doing it in, but I'm just going to wait for it to come out and see how it does, and we'll go from there. I don't think it's going to be a buy for me unless it's got some hidden gems in it or something.
Yeah, and again, it seems interesting to me. It's not interesting enough to the point to where I'm going to buy it, but if it ends up becoming on Plus one day or even Game Pass, I'll give it a shot. I'll check it out. I feel like if I were to get inside of a One Piece game, I'd probably jump on World Seeker first. Before I jump to this one. Because World Seeker, I think, is more open world. I guess more similar to how it is for almost like a Genshin Impact style, but not exactly Genshin Impact. You know what I mean? Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. Very interesting. But yeah, like as Nineball said, if you are a One Piece fan and this speaks to you, get hype. Story number three. Everwild large-scale multiplayer. So, Caitlin Anmini from Game Rant says this in the article about Everwild, which I still don't know what that game is, to be honest with you. We're going to look up a trailer on that here in a minute. Everwild has been shrouded under a veil of mystery lately, with not much known other than the small bits of information from the trailers. Hope is not lost. Now that the programmer from Sea of Thieves, developer Rare Studios, has revealed that the game will have a, quote, large-scale multiplayer world, end quote. Rare Studios, currently owned by Microsoft, is a legendary developer founded by the Stamper Brothers in 1985. It is best known for Banjo-Kazooie, Donkey Kong Country, and a few Kinect games, and most recently Sea of Thieves. Everwild is Rare's newest exclusive game where players will take over control of the Eternals, a small group of humans who have the magical connection to a natural world around them. The game was announced back in November 2019 and has been in development. A developer from Rare has detailed some more core features on what the potential players can expect from the world of Everwild. As hinted in the dev's job description for his work on the game, Everwild could have an expansive multiplayer world similar to that of Rare's other IP, Sea of Thieves. There are also hints for single-player gameplay the devs have been building, quote, extended artificial intelligence system, quote, that seems to be looking toward a strong focus on PvE gameplay, also used heavily in Sea of Thieves. So I'm going to take a moment. Go ahead and share your thoughts about this on here real fast, Mildewy, as I pull up a trailer of what Everwild is.
Looking at a trailer for it.
I'm about to share it, man. Let's watch it together.
I'm waiting to watch it together.
Thank you.
I wish the biggest thing that kind of stands out to me, though, is what they said with Sea of Thieves. Sea of Thieves is still going pretty strong, from what I'm understanding, especially even after the recent update. It was a really fun game. Very good for multiplayer, you know, playing with people and friends. So if they've kind of got that same synergy and energy as they did with Sea of Thieves, where you can either go solo or you can play with friends and all, I think this has got a good chance of, you know, going strong again. I'll keep going strong, you know. The biggest thing I think is the whole PvE aspect is, I think, a little bit better for them and better probably for gamers, because I know CTs sometimes you can have the issues with the trolls going on. So I think this could really give you another game that maybe even we probably get, you know, for a Sin segment, you know, to do. Because it'd be just us versus whatever the elements or environment is, depending upon how the game goes, you know, what the story is, maybe.
Yeah.
The artwork already, just the game style, is very interesting to me. I like this. I'm not against it. It definitely seems more right now, though. It's like you just go around, maybe, like, I don't know if it's going to be puzzle solving, because you're not seeing much combat. We're just seeing, like, interactions, healing the world, maybe interacting with it, doing, like, keeping nature going, that sort of thing.
It's going to be like a magical survival.
I mean, I would be totally down for that. You know me. I love me my good survival games. Raft, Planet Crafter. Dude, like, I got so many, I just can't keep track. Yeah. Night of the Dead, I got to get back on.
That's the vibe I'm kind of getting right now.
I would be very happy with that. This, though, like, especially this point of, like, you know, I definitely see you being, like, healing the world and all. Maybe I'd probably say, ooh, now that we're seeing this and all, like, I'm definitely getting Kena Bridge of Spirit vibes.
Multiplayer Kena.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Oh, now we got some Princess Mononoke going on.
That's about to say, I get Studio Ghibli vibes.
I definitely get the Studio Ghibli vibes in the artwork style. Definitely Spirit, Canada Bridge of Spirits, for, like, healing and solving saving the world and all. And then that's about it, because they don't show any combat or anything. So I'm kind of wondering, even though they say PvE, I'm wondering what the combat is going to be. If it's going to be something, maybe, like I said, like Kena, to where, like, you're using whatever spiritual ability that your person has.
Yeah, I'm going to try to see if I can... this one's listed as gameplay. Let's see if it really is.
I'll say this, though. I am very interested in it. So this has actually kind of caught my attention now. This is one I was not familiar with.
Yeah, I mean, it's beautiful. I'm very sad. Artistically.
Yeah. Well, definitely. And they bring in unique wildlife and creatures into a mix in with some that are not so, you know, unique. You can only change things so much. So, but I'm liking it.
Yeah. 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 Exactly. Go ahead. Nine ball.
I don't know. I'm going to try to unpack this in my brain here.
Didn't realize it was a whole, it was a moving day.
It looks beautiful. I mean, the graphics and stuff looks absolutely pretty. I like the graphics. It's just, I have no idea what's going on. I mean, is this a survival game? Is it you versus the environment?
It is PvE, is what they stated. Strongly PvE.
If we're using PvE, looking at the thing, we're using that word very, very loosely here.
They did say, right? They did say in there, go ahead.
I was about to say, there's not much. I mean, I'm not saying it sucks or anything. Don't get me wrong. I'm interested. It's just I want to know more about it.
Yeah.
The graphics look nice. It looks pretty. And the gameplay looks pretty unique. From what I've seen, anyways. Let me paraphrase that. But I don't really know what's going on. I mean, it looks like a bunch of people eating by a campfire and you're interacting with the thing. It's like going on a hiking trip. Mm-hmm. The game.
Yeah. And I did see some that, because now they're mixing some stuff from the other trailer in here as well. I'm actually going to try to fast forward a little bit, see if we can see a little bit more. But I did see something earlier where they kind of showed us like some of the monsters looking very mischievous, like they look like they're about to go ahead and attack. So I think you are going to be
salamander. Yeah. I would like to see how the combat works. Is it because it is going to be like multiplayer? Is it going to be like people can come go in and out of your games, or
I'm pretty sure it'd be like, you know, any type of game where you can set up a lobby. You know, so you can open your world and say people either can join free play, you can probably set it to invite only,
yeah,
you know, or solo play, however you want to go about it. You know, there's one scene in there where it's like, you know, they were drawing, like one of them was drawing on the ground around a tree and all, and you saw like dust kicking up, almost like looked like spell work probably, but you know, they were doing the chant at the very end and you had the spirit animal coming out, so it does give you some elements in terms of like I said, I feel like there's like maybe like a lot of puzzle solving elements and stuff in there, but combat wise, yes, I would like to know that too, Nine Ball, but I definitely am kind of maybe getting like definitely like Bridge of Kenna, a little bit vibes in terms of like, you know, solving things with the spirits and everything, like to get levels up and power ups or do whatever to help solve the world. But it wouldn't surprise me, especially since some of them had like staffs and stuff, like if they had like some form of martial arts or spell work or something to fend off the spirits and wards.
Yeah,
you know, I actually play a game called The Flame and the Flood, where you really don't fight, more or less, like you can, but a lot of times like you're going to be like running away or trying like to outmaneuver the creatures and all. You know, I think it's like you can do that in, you know, pretty much any other game, like Link, the Breath of the Wilds, Wind Waker. You know, any type of the games that allow sinking or combat, you can do either or. So I wouldn't be surprised if they put that in here too, in some way. But
yeah, I agree. I definitely think, especially with them. The way that they're referencing so heavily to Sea of Thieves, because Sea of Thieves is exploration for the most part. Yeah, there is some fighting in Sea of Thieves, but predominantly it's exploration. It's going to these new areas and trying to get the treasure and trying to do these fight jobs as pirates.
Skelly lords.
Exactly, yeah. And the beautiful thing about it is that, again, it's an Xbox Studio game. So assuming you'll have Game Pass by the time it comes out, then you'll have it already. So you'll be able to play it indefinitely as long as you have Game Pass.
Now, is it only on Xbox, or is it coming across platforms?
Just, well, Xbox is, I mean, Rare is under Xbox now. Like, they were bought out.
Yeah, they rule it now.
Yeah, they didn't mention this one inside the article that's exclusive, but pretty much any game that's going to be coming from Rare is going to be Xbox only.
It's well, like now I can't play it unless I pay for Game Pass, you know.
Yeah.
Where they don't support everyone.
10-1, it's going to come to Steam.
It better come to Steam.
All Xbox games so far have been coming to Steam as well. So it
better.
Yep. So
we'll it'll be a rule. Bow to the power of PC. Well, that's what Microsoft wants. Wait, no, don't! Don't feed Daddy Gates!
For a story... Daddy, well, before we get on over the fun ones...
No, he doesn't.
I got a couple fun ones for us, but before we get into that, definitely want to remind you guys that are watching right now. You guys probably taught me quite a few times to get a little sip of my Sprite, a little sip of my water right there, but if you guys like Raise Energy Drinks, you guys go to RepSports, REPPSports.com. Type in ALWT Gaming at checkout. Get 15% off your energy drinks there. It's quite tasty. It's quite needy full. You might as well go ahead and try it out because they have guava mango. That's the only flavor I really have to say, but I'm also going to throw a couple at you. They got Galaxy Starburst. They got sour gummy worms. You know what I mean? So just go over there and just type it in there, REPPSports.com. Type in ALWT Gaming at checkout. Get 15% sign off. Turn down for what? Fun ones for you guys. So on one, this is three parts of the fun one. So the first one is PlayStation Plus leaks. Alex Hopley from GamerRant says this in their article. With console players having to pay for their online services, Sony, Microsoft, and Nintendo have to ensure that the players feel as if they're getting their money's worth. Whether or not they always do is up for debate, but every one of them has had highs and lows, big victories and huge controversies. PlayStation Plus, Xbox Game Pass, and Games with Gold, Nintendo Switch Online, and so on. According to the Deal Labs, a source that has accurately leaked games several times in the past, the free game on PlayStation Plus for April 2022 are The Hood, Outlaw and Legends, Slay the Spire, and SpongeBob SquarePants Battle for Bikini Bottom Rehydrated. While this should be treated as a rumor, the chances of the leaking being accurate are pretty high. Indeed, many have come to look for the Deal Labs leaks, particularly user Bilbil Kunz, because they have yet to be wrong. So likely what we're going to get, I'm actually, of the three games, I'm actually excited for Outlaws, like Hood, because I know that was the PvPvE style game, and I want to try that out. I want to try a couple rounds.
Yeah, this is definitely, because I am that one, I'm kind of just weary on those right now, because a lot of people are on those, and I mean, you'll get these in any type of PvP games, and you'll get any trolls or anything. It's just I'm curious about the main setup of the game. Like, are they going to have, you know, loot boxes, weapon stuff to buy? Like, how's the leveling system going to be? You know, is there going to do any of that? You know, that's just my biggest thing is, like, yeah, am I going to go in day one and people who are, you know, paying out money and stuff going to be able to wreck me, no problem? Or is it just going to be something where it's like you got to work and earn it, you know, as you go along?
I don't think it's anything like that. I think it's more closer to the lines of the strategy that Smite goes to, where it's competitive based. Like, there's NPCs out there, yes, and you can choose what your class and your role is going to be, but like, you're trying to break inside this area and try to get, like, sneak and get this, like, say, treasure from this cathedral or something, and it's heavily guarded by NPCs. But as you're trying to do that, another rogue group is trying to do the same thing. So it's not only you versus the NPCs, but you're also against other players trying to get this thing, try to get this treasure to take it out and all that good stuff. So it's almost like Capture the Flag on steroids. So I don't think there's going to be anything like, and I could be wrong, I haven't played it, but look at the trailers and stuff like that previously. I don't think it's any, I think it's just going to be one of those, like, hey, there's different rounds, like how there is in Smite, you have different games, and you just kind of go in there and use your skill in general. They might have different, like, costumes and stuff. They might have different classes that you can purchase. Like, that might be something, but I don't think it's going to be anything where it's just like, hey, you have to buy to become level 20 and it's pay to win or anything like that.
Okay. Yeah, I never saw anything about that aspect on there. And a lot of times when you get these PvP games, and all, they're like, yeah, they'll have the battle passes, which you can play through. Yeah. Then you got packs that people can buy and get upgrade weapons and gears and stuff. And you're just like, all right, we're going to be dealing with this now in this game. You know, that's the biggest thing is, like, what are we going to be dealing with? Because, you know, a lot of times I just end up with those and you're just like, this isn't fun anymore.
On the plus side, it's going to be on plus, so it'll be free for you to try it out, see if you like it or not.
I'm okay with that.
If it's free, it's for me. Nineball, do you have any comments here on this before we go on over to fun one number two?
Not really. I mean, I mean, the I guess Hood is okay, but I don't really care about Slay the Spire or SpongeBob.
Yeah, I don't even know what that is. I mean, I'll add it to my library because they're free, but yeah, I really don't even know what that is.
I think I already got it free.
Well, there you go. Story, or fun one number two, is PlayStation Pro in the works? Rory Young from Game Rant says this in their article. On November 12, 2020, Sony officially launched its long-awaited PlayStation 5 console. The beefy PlayStation hardware launched in the middle of the pandemic, however, and shipping issues mixed with component shortages have kept the PS5 out of the hands of prospective gamers. I'm going to pause right there real fast and give you guys a little update. One of my colleagues is trying to get a PS5. I've been helping him try to get that, and I'm noticing that retailers are doing a new strategy. Their strategy is... GameStop did it first, and that one was fine because I was already a member. But for Walmart and for Best Buy, they're trying to get you inside their member program in order for you to purchase a PlayStation 5. So, like, for Walmart, you have to be a Walmart Plus member. And for Best Buy, you have to have their that $200 warranty thing where you can have, like, the Geek Squad and all these different perks with it and stuff like that. It's great if you go to Best Buy all the time and you probably already have one, but it is one of those things where it's just like, really? Like, I'm trying to get PS5 and it's already hard enough to get one. You're making it even harder. So I understand what they're doing. They're trying to stop scalpers and stuff like that, but scalpers can easily sign up for that stuff too. So I don't know. But anyway, proceeding on. Prospective gamers. Yep. If a new rumor is to be believed, a slow rollout of the PS5 isn't impeding Sony's plans to continue iterating on hardware. A new report claims that PlayStation 5 Pro console could be arriving as soon as late 2023. The report originates from the YouTube channel Red Gaming Tech, an outlet covering PC and console hardware news with a reputation for AMD scoops. According to the Red Gaming Tech, Sony is currently developing a PlayStation 5 Pro console with a tentative release window of the late 2023 or early 2024. Another source told them that 2024 was the correct time frame for the PS5 Pro's release. All I got to say is I told you guys. I told you so.
So stupid. I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. That's retarded. You can't even get the PlayStation 5. So, hey, let's work on a PlayStation 5 Pro instead of, let's get more PlayStation 5 out.
Well, they're getting PS5s out. The problem is scalpers. That's the problem.
Yeah. Well, now you just gave them something else to scalp.
Yeah, true. I mean, you're not wrong. I see this going by really fast.
I mean, it makes no sense. They ain't even got, like I said, a lot of people can't even get a PlayStation 5. Let alone, I mean, you just launched the PlayStation 5. Like, when did it launch? Like,
2 years ago.
So 2 years ago.
Yeah, 2 years ago. So this is actually, I see this happening because I think they ended up doing the same thing for PS4.
Let alone, you're gonna launch after a war and a pandemic.
Yeah. Now, the war was obviously not planned. Like, they were having this in development before that.
Yeah, it was still retarded. Well, I shouldn't use that word. I'm sorry. Been working on that. It's still not the smartest.
Undesirable.
Move. There you go. There you go.
Yeah. I agree with you in the fact that it's just going to be another tool for scalpers to get. But yeah, we'll kind of have to wait and see. We got to wait and see. But I do think that it's probably going to be smaller. Maybe that level will allow you, instead of it being a terabyte, maybe they'll have it be 2 to 4 terabytes big or something.
Maybe. I thought that's why they had the expandable storage.
Well, I'm saying base. Like, it'll probably come base with... Like, it'll probably still be expandable storage in the Pro, but you can include even more... Like, you'll... At base, instead of it being 1 terabyte, it'll be 2 terabyte, so you're already saving money on having to do an additional upgrade, like an expandable storage on that one. But if you wanted to, you have that option of making it from a 2 to 4, 2 to 6 or something.
And I bet you it's going to cost a lot more.
Oh yeah. I think PlayStation 5 Pro, assuming it comes out in end of 2023, beginning of 2024, I see that being 6. I think that's where the 600 will come into play. I don't think it's going to be more than 6. So... Yeah, there you have it. Any commentary on that, Mildew, before we're going over to the final one?
I'm not sure how many they're going to get out because, you know, they're already short on stuff for the four and for the five normal, like Nymel said. So, have fun, guys. Just have fun trying to get one.
Yeah. And
talk to Malachi. He's probably got some tricks.
I got some tricks. I got the beans, grains, tomatoes. All right. And on over here, the final one. We have from your, and this one's a me one. This is a me one. From your living room to the field, Sam Byford from The Verge says this in their article. The National Football League, a.k.a. the NFL, is stepping into virtual reality with the announcement of a new official VR game. It will be developed in a partnership with sports technology company Status Pro, which makes the use of the player data from the AR training tool already used in NFL teams.
Is it Madden? I swear to God, it's Madden.
It probably is Madden, if it's going to be NFL. The plan is for the game to become an annual series like EA's Madden series. Oh, like EA Madden series. Maybe it's not Madden. There aren't many details on the game itself, including what it'll be called or when it's available. The NFL's press release describes it as a first-person simulation title that will be released on MetaQuest and PlayStation VR. No word on whether that means PSVR 2. There are other VR football games already available, like Cartoony 2MD VR Football Unleashed, and a licensed title featuring Kansas City Chiefs star quarterback Patrick Mahomes, but it sounds like the NFL's focus will be on the authenticity for the new project. Quote, we are seeing a growing number of fans engaging with VR, and we're excited to launch the first ever VR game titling that completes our existing offering in market today, end quote, says the league's SVP of Consumer Products, Joe Ruggiero, in a statement. I'm actually excited about this one. Assuming they do it right, I'm actually very excited about this one. And I'm curious to see what that will mean for multiplayer. Because if I could be a QB, and Nineball, you're the running back, and Mildew Carrot's out there just wide receivering it up, and we're able to go through a league like that, I'll be having fun with that. I would also like to do something to where you do something more of the off-field stuff, to where I am signing autographs. I am making those choices, and not cheesy choices. Like, I want good, good real choices. And don't make the game E. Don't make it E for everyone. They probably will. But don't make the game E. Make it T. Make it M. You know what I mean? Give me the raw, dirty stuff. You know what I mean? Like, let me go ahead, get some cussing in there. No, don't really. But I'm just saying in general, like, I just want to have some real quality experiences on the field and off the field in the VR world. That's what I want.
I need that setup from Ready mm-hmm. Player One before I'm ever going to do that.
Well, yeah, there you go. I know you're not really much of a sports person anyway, but this speaks to me, the soccer, the gamer, or the footballer, the basketballer, all of that.
It's just when you hear this in football, let's just say they never had a good track record. I don't see this going well either. Well,
it's also never been licensed before. This is their first licensed game.
Yeah,
it's always been something that's kind of been a little cheesier and stuff. But this one, gloves are off. They're able to get the entire NFL cast in there.
Yeah, just like in Madden.
and again, honestly, Madden still is a good game. It's just frustrating because it's just the same game. It's the
only game.
I remember back in the day where there's the Game Day and Madden and Blitz, and I think they even had, I don't know if it was
what was it, 2K?
2K, yeah. Yeah, they had quite a few different ones out there. But yeah. I really don't mind it being Madden. I just don't, like, I just want it to be more interactive. I don't want it to be the same game every 2 years, because that's what they do. They'll recycle the same game from the previous year and then just add in maybe one or two different things. But like, oh yeah, it's all new, here it is. At this point, it should just be an update. It shouldn't even be a new brand new game. It should be like a $40 title or a $30 title, to where you're just updating the roster at this point.
To be honest, this is why competition is so important. Mm-hmm. This is why you need Xbox to step up, and this is why PlayStation has to answer the call. And this is my stuff because it keeps things from happening and going down to that category where you just hit stagnation. Mm. And I feel like that's what Madden's been at for years. Like, I quit playing Madden years ago. And even people I know that play Madden don't even play Madden no more.
Mm. Well, yeah. I mean, I own Madden, but I haven't played it in a while, yeah.
Yeah, a lot of people I know that used to play Madden, they don't really touch it no more. They just, man, don't even get that one. It ain't even worth your time.
Yeah. It's not. Might as well wait for it to come out on deal. Like, it'll come down to $25. Might as well get it at that point if you really want a Madden game.
I mean, it could be good, but it would depend on how they do it, how the setup is. Catching the football. I mean, there's endless possibilities. You can even create, like, realistic maybe sun glare or domes and stuff, depending on what stadium you play at. I mean, turf. All this stuff could be cool, but I just don't see them doing it.
We'll see, man. We'll see. I mean, everything's still in the works right now. Nothing's set in stone. So we'll just have to, just like the Spartacus announcement, we'll have to wait and see. Let's see if it's a beautiful thing or not. I will say there's one thing, and it's an issue that I personally have with sports games. And that issue is this. If you make a short character, that does not automatically mean that they're fast. You know what I mean? That is probably the most, like, not trying to brag or boast, but in high school, like, I was already a relatively average height guy, borderline tall. And I was still faster than most of the people that were in, like, that were on the field, regardless of the sport. Very, very rarely is there a person that was shorter than me that was faster than me. There's one person that was, we called him Moose, his name was Tien, and he was an Asian kid. That dude was fast as crap, but, like, even with him, with his speed, I was still, like, up there with him. The other person that was faster than me, his name was Edwin, and he was taller than me. So it's just like, just because you're short does not mean you're fast. So I wish that FIFA would get rid of that, because that is so much BS and so frustrating when they just beat our line. That's all it is. They do one move over the top, run it down, over the top, run it down. Like, that's all they do. And then they shoot it from impossible angles. I'm getting heated. Let's go to end the show, guys. Okay. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. You guys are not going to see FIFA Cam today. Not today. No. Not happening. But
yeah, I've heard enough of FIFA.
I will let you guys know again that April is coming up soon. So here in the next couple weeks or so, we're going to be doing our 9 to 5 segment on a new game. There's no SIN this Thursday, so just a little reminder there. Still be on the lookout to see if any new streaming videos will be coming out from PlayStation in the next 2 days. Highly doubtful. So I think that VGC, like what we saw previously, is what VGC was talking about. But we'll see. We still have 2 days left, technically. And then next Tuesday is going to be our All Things Gaming, 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Again, we appreciate you guys. We love you guys. Consider giving us a follow on social media, such as Twitter, Twitch, Instagram, Facebook, all of that. Just type in ALWT Gaming, which stands for At Least We Tried Gaming, which you might have to type inside YouTube, because, yeah, at least we tried. And of course, if you guys have Amazon Prime and Twitch account, you guys merge them together, marry them like this, you guys will get a Twitch Prime, to where you guys can actually go ahead and use a free sub monthly to one of a Twitch streamers such as us. So if you guys have that, you guys would like to donate that sub to us, we appreciate that, because that's just $5 you're wasting otherwise. If not, you'll use it for us, perfectly fine. Use it for somebody else. Just don't let it go to waste. You know what I mean? Your mother says clean your plate, so we're saying clean your Amazon Prime Twitch plate. All right? Until next time, everybody. Control. Alt.
Complete.
Peace!